Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys made it through another Wednesday. Today, I'm going to preach on the cross. Our scripture reading is going to be in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 14 through 18. You know, I come to you guys today or tonight, my heart in my hands, and a subject dear to my heart. Yeah, I hope it's dear to y'all's. As a child to my teenager years, I struggled, guys, with who I was, my purpose in this cold and heartless world, through the drugs, the sex, through anything that I can numb the pain that was within me. See, my soul was cold and it's empty. I was raised in church. I heard preachers preach on the cross. But I allowed Satan to blind me from the truth. I let him drag me through the mud in this world, just a lot of times just drunk and laying there. When I look back on my life, God intervened throughout my life, protecting me from things. I shouldn't be here today preaching anything. I should be dead. Places I shouldn't have been. Driving where I know I shouldn't have drove. Staying in places, my life was, I don't know, just my life, it was so cold and lifeless. And I want to come today and tell you guys there's nothing special about me. I will claim that to the day. I don't care if I preach to 2, 3, 5, 10, or 20, or 10,000, 20,000, my heart will not change for the gospel. See, Jesus pulled me out of that darkness. Laying there, beaten down. Attempt to try to destroy my life by killing myself, or trying to kill myself, cutting my wrists and bleeding out. But the ambulance came and they got me and they brought me to the hospital, and I started a recovering process, and a lot had to do with opening my Bible again and praying and listening to God speak and direct my life back on path that it needs to be. And see, there's the Holy Spirit is inside me now with a fire burning so brightly and a passion for the truth of the gospel that is desperately needed today. God has prepared me for a time like this. You may never have heard my name. It don't even matter. You may never will hear my name, and that still doesn't matter. The only name that matters is Jesus Christ. Some evangelists and pastors, they want their name to be in lights. They want to let their light shine and not the light that's inside them. The only name that truly matters is Jesus. And as we look at Galatians chapter 6, and we look at verse 14 through 18, it says this: But God forbid that I should glory, save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcised avail anything, nor uncircumcised, but a new creature. As many as walk according to his rule, peace be on them, mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear the body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, if you just come tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be able to speak the word that you have given me, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit directs and guides this preaching. That every word I speak is the words that you have placed to come out of my mouth to reach whoever that needs to hear. If it's just one person, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many people hear this. All that matters is that the word goes out. Lord, I pray, Lord, for our nation, this time of turmoil and chaos. You can really see evil manifest right in front of our eyes. I pray, Lord, you give us strength to endure these times as they get worse. I pray that you raise up people that will speak the truth, regardless of what it may cost them, Lord. I pray those that are preaching a false gospel, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they see their error, or you remove them from the scenario. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with your church, the true church that will stand on the word of God regardless what the cultural is saying. Men of God with a backbone that's been missing for many, many years, stand. Let the pulpit speak truth. Let the pulpit fill with the word of God on sin and hell. But Jesus conquered it all. And he's coming back soon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity once again just to give this message, getting us through another day. Some of us may be going to work tonight, wherever it may be, Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. You know, here we have Galatians. And this is Paul, of course. And you see, Paul was not a very good man at one time. You see, he had one purpose and a goal, was to persecute the people of God. But you see, something happened to him on that road. You can read about it in Acts, when he was headed to persecute some more of God's people. See, God intervened. He struck Paul blind. We could say he had that come to Jesus meeting, right? And we really do not know exactly what happened during the time he was blind, but later receiving his sight back. One fact that remains that we can all agree on is Paul was different. Now, Paul had a passion, a fire burning inside of him, as we all should have, to tell this world about Jesus and what he has done for us, what he's done for me, what he's done for you, what he's done for all of us. He died for the whole world. You see that in John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son, that's Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. Tonight I want to present three questions. First, what does the cross mean to you? And has the cross changed your life? And the third, if you have not experienced this change tonight, I ask you, do not wait before it's too late, because we're not promised tomorrow. So, what does the cross mean to you? When we look at verse 14, Paul tells us, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and unto the world." To Paul, the cross is important. It's a fundamental principle of the Christian faith. Without the cross, our Christian faith is meaningless. You know, I love watching Christian movies. I don't know if you guys seen this movie called Do You Believe? And it tells the story of several people and different struggles in their life, and how the cross of Jesus brings them all together. It's such a beautiful message in there. And one of the scenes in there, you have a street preacher, and he confronts a pastor. His pastor's driving in his car, and he rolls down his window on this, And this street preacher, he asked him, "Do you believe in the cross?" And the pastor like, "Yeah, something." So I'm like, "Well, I'm a pastor." And the guy's like, "That ain't why I ask you. Do you believe?" This rocked the pastor. He started thinking. And of course, the movie's so good, it just kind of, that theme of the movie on the cross. I encourage you guys to get that watch it. The book's good too. You see, brothers and sisters, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, for us, for this world, because God loved us so much that he gave his life up. One of the most horrible way to die, the cross, the crucifixion. This was one of the most popular way of torment and execution by the Roman Empire. And Roman soldiers were experts in this way of torture and execution. Suffering was greatly. They knew how to torture. And they knew this was not their first, as we say in the country, their first rodeo. This was normal to them. Crucifixions, even today, I would consider probably one of the most horrible ways to die. And in Jesus' case, you can look that he was also scourged. And what the scourge means, it means they, and I mean, you can look, you can read the passage. The Passion of Christ is pretty, when it comes to that point, it's pretty accurate. There's, of course, there are theological differences in when you look at it, but when you look at the torture, you see Jesus was tied up and he was beaten with a whoop, but this whoop had on its leather stripes, it had shards of glass and bone, and it was meant to, when the whoop came at it, it meant to catch into the skin and rip the skin. If you look at the historical document of the scourging, people literally had their intestines ripped completely out. The scourging alone would have killed them. It was torture. And they, it was horrible. And you would think that was much. You had them mocking him and putting a crown of thorns on his head. And slapping around, and then eventually just bring it, forcing him to carry the cross up the hill. And then stretching his hands, one on the other side, one on the opposite side, and staking a nail that is like a railroad spike. I don't know if you guys look at railroad spikes, but through his hand, both his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, and then put both his feet together and nail through his feet. It's sad when you look at this and you think about it. I know you can look at you. I encourage you to look at, study the crucifixion, exactly what it entailed, and look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are what we call synoptic gospels. You get the full picture of the crucifixion. And when you see all this, why would he do this? You know, why would he do that for me? Did he deserve this torture, this suffering for somebody? And when I look in the mirror, I'm nothing special. Why would he die for me? See, he was guiltless. He didn't do nothing. He didn't deserve that. We deserve the cross. We deserve the suffering. But he took that on us. When you look at Genesis and you read from 1 to 3, you will see that God created a beautiful world, a paradise. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It wasn't plagued by heat or cold. We didn't have diseases. You didn't have a coronavirus or the flu. It was not plagued by disease or death. We were meant to live forever. You could walk out in the day and it would be beautiful. It's just right. And you see all the animals within that garden. They didn't eat meat. They were plant eaters or fruit eaters. You see your lions, they ate leaves or fruits. They were not meat eaters. I know that's hard to understand. You know, I love watching Animal Planet documentaries. And when you watch those, you quickly understand that this a lion, when it's on the prowl looking for something to eat, and when it finds it and attacks it, it's going to be a horror show. But see, one time, it wasn't like that. See, God created Adam and Eve. And they got to lie in this paradise and want for nothing. Nothing, guys. Nothing. Can you imagine not wanting for nothing? I know it blows our mind. But no pain, no suffering, no bills, no mortgage. It was a paradise. And they just had to tend the garden and have children. But God gave them one command. He told them, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You will surely die. You know, Satan was there. And you know, Satan hates everything about God. Even today, you'll see that. And it's sad about America. The more I study, the more I look at America from the foundation that were Christian, Jewish-Christian roots has been slowly chipped away to a point where we don't even look like a Christian nation anymore. From our school systems to our government to just going to work on a daily. I'm not one of those preachers that don't work another job. I work a full-time job and I preach at a church. And I do this webcast or this podcast. I don't live in a little box where I can sit up every Sunday and tell you, oh, this and this, and then I'm sitting in my sanctuary 40 hours a week twiddling my thumbs. We have to get out there. I'm not one of those preachers that will, even if I was in a church, I would be heavily involved in outreach, reaching others, and missionary. But when we look at America, and we look at what we have allowed Satan to do, to operate through people, because we don't war against flesh and blood, right, guys? Of principalities and powers and that order of demonic activity that affects us every day. The devil chips away. And of course, we can see in Genesis, if you look at Genesis chapter 2 and then you read all the way to beginning of chapter 3, it speaks of the serpent and how he deceived Eve, and then she took of the fruit, and then she offered to Adam, and he believed that lie too, and see, paradise was lost, and sin entered to this world, so we are guilty. When we look at the cross, that should have been ours. Our Jesus Christ shouldn't have suffered for our sins, but he loves us that much. He loves us that much. You see, sin don't want to be spoke in the pulpits. It became a three-letter word that don't want to be preached on. But our pulpits need to radiate the word sin, because we are sinful creatures. And that's why we need God. That's why he sent his son to die on that cross. When Jesus died on that cross, he took our sins on him. That is the past, present, right now, right in our future sins. It's through that blood that was shed on the cross that we can come to him right where we're at. and we can lay our hearts at the feet at Jesus and place our eyes on true grace and mercy. So when we look at the cross, we see grace and we see mercy. When you think of grace and mercy, the Bible radiates with those terms. The amazing grace should take our breath away. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, and you look at verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, is a gift of God." Grace. Are you saved through faith? It's the grace. And if you go to Titus chapter 3 and 5, it speaks how His mercy saved us. They're intertwined together within the cross. When you look at the cross, you should think of the grace and the mercy that He has provided for us so we don't have to die on that cross and experience that pain. When we look at the cross, and in verse 15 here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, "For in Christ neither circumcised of it anything, nor uncircumcised, for a new creature." We look at that new creature, right? What do you think when you think of new? Romans 6, verse 6 through 10 said, "Knowing this, our old man is crucified." There's that word again. "Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him." I know there's kind of like opposite terms there, right? "Knowing that Christ being risen from dead, died no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in the he lived until God." You see, when we look at the cross, we see new life. The cross, the death to old self. When we can become a new creature in Christ, the old man is no more. We are new. And if you look at Romans 6, 6, it said, "Our old man is crucified with him." This is not my opinion. It is right here in the Word of God. Old man is crucified with him. And we become new. A new creature. This is what we call regeneration. A lot of times, people will miss the whole regeneration. But it's very scriptural, and we have to know that. In Titus 3, I kind of hinted to this. Titus 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, that is, old to new, and renewing of the Holy Ghost." See, when we give our life to God, we become new. And the Holy Spirit comes inside to live inside of you and me. That's very important, guys. Because it's without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't receive that correction. We would not see the direction that the Lord needs us to take within our life. The lack of direction, the lack of conviction and chastisement in our life is no good. It's very important to us to understand that. So you see, the cross is a picture. When you look at the crucifixion, you got a picture of the pain that he suffered for us. But you got to understand that he didn't remain on that cross, and he was removed. And of course, he was dead. And they placed him in that tomb, and we know he rose that third day. Thank God for the resurrection. So when we look at the cross, we think of the resurrection. He was fully restored, other than his nail scar hands and pierced side. He was with the disciples. You can see that in the Gospels, 40 days. And then he ascended to heaven. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in at. He didn't leave us alone. He said he's going to leave a comforter. The comforter is the Holy Spirit, to live inside each and every one of his children. And that is to give us guidance and strength and chastisement, conviction, to walk in this dark world and be that light. I'm telling you, we need to be that light today in this dark world. And it is possible it's going to get a lot darker before it's over with. And that's just scripture. And I want to tell you, if you're clinging on to your old life and you love it too much, if you're enjoying your sin, you have not been regenerated. You have not truly open your heart to God. Because when we open our heart to God, it changes us. Not my opinion. God's word. So you can't serve two masters. Right? Even Jesus was very clear on this. You serve one or the other. You serve God or you serve Satan. I heard one preacher say one time, if you really want to see where your allegiance is, look where you give your money the most to, right? And this ministry, I fund it. I work and I fund this ministry myself, so I ain't asking for no money. So I ain't asking anybody that listens for this for money. If you feel led by God to send it, do it. That's why I work. Like Paul, I work and then I preach. So, when we look at the cross, we can see the death. We can see the resurrection. And we can see what he gave us, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us. So, has the cross changed your life? Has Jesus changed your life? You should ask yourself this question tonight. Galatians 6, 16 through 18 says this: as many as walk according to the rule, peace be on them, mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul's telling the Galatians and us today, if you have Jesus, he will not leave you alone. He will never forsake you. We can distance ourselves from Jesus through our sins. He can't look up on sin. Sin creates interference. Sin's like a cancer. It kills you from the inside out. It breaks Jesus' heart. It should break our heart to want to live in the filth of this world and not be convicted. We have problems. You know, my life, I ran and I ran and I ran. I used to be a cross-country runner. And now I can't run as fast as I used to because I'm getting older and my knees hurt. But I wanted, me personally, I wanted to create as much distance from Jesus. So I I had all this disobedience, hate, anger left me empty inside. Left me coldless inside. You see, when you start breaking that fellowship with Jesus, you start losing the things that gives you calmness within this world. And peace is one of those. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, when we go through things in this life, storms in life will come. It rains on God's children and also rains on those that are lost and Satan has blind. And these storms can rock you to your very core. I know I've experienced a few and I'm still learning. I think we'll always be learning something. And with a gulf of darkness, this could be depression, anxiety, hopelessness, thoughts of suicide, financial stress, marriage stress, and the list goes on. Suicide, right? But in a moment or time, if you would just step back and just give it to Jesus, I mean fully give it to Him, when you're walking in fellowship with Jesus and you haven't broke it, He will provide peace within that storm. It may take your breath away, but it won't take His. And when I was living in that lifestyle and just, you know, my peace, and of course peace follows your joy, and all those things start getting removed, and then you're just, you don't know what's going on, and you one drink after another, one relationship try to numb the pain. See, this world will inject you with darkness and leave you cold and empty. Our God will not. You know, I think of the illustration, or not really illustration, but the historical accurate event when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and that storm came and, you know, He rocked them, and most of the disciples were, you know, they experienced storms before. They knew the capacity of a storm and how deadly it could be. And we kind of, if we don't go out in the lake much, or, you know, we haven't really experienced a storm on the lake. I mean, most of us probably have seen movies or the Weather Channel, and we can kind of get a picture of how devastating a storm can be. And they were in the midst of storm that knew it could end their life. You know, immediately they just let the devil place all these thoughts in their heads. And there, you know, and there's Jesus, He's sleeping, right? Wow, to have that kind of peace, right? But Jesus was right there. They didn't get that He was right there. And you see the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. When we're walking according to His will, we're walking more what in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And you can see that in Galatians 5. When it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "Then I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." See, when we walk according to the Spirit, we will fulfill less of the flesh. And when we do that, we will reap the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And guess what? One of those fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, right? If you go to Galatians 5, chapter 22, chapter 5, verse 22, said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, here's that word again, have crucified the flesh. It's all in the, when you look at the, how it's integrated into the Bible, it will blow your mind. We have to be students of the Word of God, right? We have to be students. We have to be praying people. We have to be people that want more of Jesus in our life. Instead of coming home and turning the TV on, we need to be on our knees praying, Lord, where do you need me to be? Lord, our country is falling apart. Lord, bring men or women into that will have a desire to go out there and to witness. Where do I lie in this, Lord? Put me where you need to put me. Let me be where you need me to be. Just, our heart should be torn. And we should be tearing the scriptures and breaking them down. When you look at this, the cross, I encourage you just look through the Bible. Look at the cross and what it means. And especially what it means to you that you can tell somebody about it. And how it has changed your life. I gave you a little bit of my testimony. There's a lot more. But it's all about Jesus, not me. We all have a testimony, right? Hallelujah. When we look at the cross, all I can think of is crazy love, right? Crazy. But we know that's agape. That's unconditional, unadulterated. A love that gives and gives. Expects nothing back. That is the love that flowed from the cross, the blood of our Jesus. And he wants you, if you have not thought about it or you're avoiding it, he wants you to become part of his kingdom, a child of God. He wants you to become his. You know, I was looking at this word or this phrase here in Galatians, and it's chapter 6 or main 1, verse 17. It said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I know that's probably not a very popular message. To bear the marks of our Lord Jesus. To realize what was those marks. Paul was a real person. Dealing with real issues during his time. And he knew there was a cost to following Jesus. Even Jesus said that throughout his word. Foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, right? And he said, Jesus said, you have to deny yourself, pick your cross and follow me. When we open our heart to Jesus, don't fool yourself, believing that life will be all happy, happy. The birds will be flying, and you know you're immediately in a scene in a movie that is so pleasurable, and your life is just going to be smooth sailing from then on. There is a cost. If you follow Paul's life in Acts, you'll see that he was beaten. He was placed in prison. He was shipwrecked. He suffered greatly. But it was okay. Because regardless of what he was experiencing in his life, will never overshadow what was waiting or is waiting for him. Because now he's in heaven. God got this right. Man, Paul got this right. Today many will say to to Christians, new Christians. Oh, it's easy, it's fun, we're going to have a good time. Because God wants you to have it all. He wants you to have your best life now. But the Bible tells us different. We will suffer for Christ. Especially as it gets closer to the coming of Christ. He of course tells us we have to deny ourselves. If you're like, oh no, I don't want to suffer. And nobody truly wants to suffer. But understanding that you will. But you're like, no, I don't really think I'm going to do that. And I like living in my sin. And I don't want to pick up my cross. But then the Christian life isn't for you. Well, I don't want to go to hell. There is the what I call the professing Christians of today. The modern day Christianity. They want the heaven without the hell. They want the heaven without the cost. But when we look at Matthew 7, Jesus speaks of two gates. One being wide and one being narrow. Narrow being the way to Jesus and wide being the way to Satan and hell. And Jesus tells us, many will go down that wide way that leads to destruction. This is the words of Jesus. You know, Jesus spoke on hell more than anybody. That probably today will... If you said that in a mega church, hopefully that wouldn't shock them. But the way the climate looks, it probably would. And he even says in there that people who will say, didn't I cast out demons? And he's speaking of Christians or professing Christians at this point. In your name, heal the sick and other things. Did I preach this great sermon or sung this great song that packed the Colosseum. There was 20,000 people. I sung and they're like, hallelujah. And Jesus said, depart from me, you work iniquity. I never knew you. Because God sees your heart. See, that's a change, right? That's a change. He knows when your heart has changed. Today, that last question is, and of course, I've preached several salvation messages touching on different aspects of salvation throughout. You can pretty much stroll down and look at all of them and listen to them many times. And also, I'm available if you guys want to leave a comment or have a one-on-one private message. I can provide many. One thing I had to do was really get salvation down. Because I was really confused what it meant to be a child of God. And I feel there's many that are. We should be people that are able to expound, especially us as leaders that are in the front line of this battle. And it's raging greatly now. It could rage a whole lot worse before it's over with in America. But I want to tell you, if only you got breath in your body, it's not too late. If you're hearing this message and it sparks up any kind of question that you want to present with me, you can do it. I have my phone number on there. You can send me a message. Just identify yourself. Let me know that you listen to this message and you really want to talk about salvation. Or you can go on my website and PM me that way. Or you can do it on Facebook. Just make sure you identify yourself that you heard this message and you want to talk about salvation. I'm here. So as we look at these questions, that's the thing. That is the thing, guys. What does the cross mean to you? Has it changed your life? If it ain't, then what to do? Right? What to do? Because when this life is over with, it doesn't matter how much you have gained on this earth, this world. You could be as rich as Bill Gates. You could be as rich as other millionaires and billionaires have gone. And Lord, I pray that they, in their last dying breath, they accepted Christ into their lives and realized everything was meaningless without Jesus. You could have yachts, you could have nice cars, you could have a mansion. But death is the physical death, right? We are going to face a physical death if we don't see the rapture and Jesus coming back for us. And when that physical death hits, there is also a spiritual death. And that spiritual death is, and I know I didn't really touch on it on the body of the sermon, but I have preached it on several other salvation messages. But there will be a spiritual death. And the thing is, if you want to spiritually be alive, you have to realize the truth. You have to realize what happened at the cross. You got to realize, to understand what happened at the cross, understand the resurrection and what that meant, and about the Holy Spirit coming down, and those that truly, which is John 3, the first 1 through 10, speaks of being born again, about being born again. And then our life will be a discipleship. We will be, we'll have our ups and downs, but the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. When we get off the path, it corrects us. You can't live in your sin and be happy. The Holy Spirit will beat you to a point where you cannot move. I know, because I experienced it. When you're a child of God, you have to realize there is a cost. That when you're walking in the darkness and people see that you are different and you don't conform to what this world considers the new Christianity, you will be mocked. You will be laughed at. I'm not speaking of that I've never experienced. I have felt that and seen it and experienced it, and probably will experience more. Once again, I'm not one of those preachers that hide out in my home and then come out for the Sunday lesson. I walk out into this world and I feel the hate. I want to encourage you, have a pastor that is just sits around and doesn't realize the reality of it. You probably need to approach him. Of course, pray for him. Approach him and talk to him. Do not put off salvation. Do not put off those important questions tonight, thinking what the cross means. If you say, well, the cross is nothing, it don't mean nothing to me, it's all hogwash, it's all, I will not believe it. In the end, that's going to be very devastating to you. Because the Word of God is truth. It's the only truth that will remain when it's all said and done. I love you guys. I hope y'all have a good rest of the week. Once again, hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on this, on my website. That's why I kind of did my website. It's kind of just a, I'm eventually going to, I guess, fancy up, I guess, one day. But it's what I could afford. Because Facebook was pretty much blocking me on a lot of things. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to give your word. And I pray, Lord, that whoever is out there that hears this, that if they're living a life that's a lie, they are in church, but they have been very deceptive to their pastor or their Bible teacher. Lord, I pray, Lord, this night's a fire within them, that they honestly desire more of you and less of this world. They're willing to give it all. That they want to do outreach and they want to do more Bible studies. They want to hear more preaching, Lord. And that they're willing to go out there and to proclaim the gospel in the darkness, Lord. I pray those, Lord, I pray those that may not even know God tonight, that this message at least sparks questions in their minds. I pray, Lord, for us that are standing on the Word of God and how difficult it will get for us. We pray that you give us strength to endure as Paul endured and count it all joy when feeling the raging of persecution on our heads. We love you. We thank you for everything you have done and you will do. And all this we pray in your holy, beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.